WTMA Talk Radio 1250.
Welcome, 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 my fellow Charlestonians, citizens of the Lowcountry, those who serve in uniform to protect the red, white, and blue, and those who serve in local uniform, sworn to protect the innocent citizens of the Lowcountry. And then there's me! This is Radio Free Rocky D, the Big Talker! Wow! Wow! Bet you didn't hear that 70 years ago, did you? You, my friends, may in fact be politically incorrect. All you gotta do, stand up in front of a crowd and you tell the truth out loud. When you tell the truth out loud, that makes you politically incorrect as well. You'll be surrounded immediately by the PC thought police. Say, 70 years ago, but I wasn't here, so it doesn't count. I was Obama. Oh, call Rocky D, 556-1250, 843-556-1250. There she is. She was actually here, in spirit, the day they flipped on the transmitter. And what year was that? 1939. Holy smokes. Donald Darling.
Hey, but you know what? They didn't have all of this.
And that was back when the Brentwood area. Thanks for doing that on the 70th birthday. Started out with a bang. And by the way, back when they first flipped this transmitter on, the Brentwood area where you're in, it was upscale.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Yeah. And they said, you know, we're going to plan an upscale, really good private school, and we're going to call it, what was the name of your school again?
Brentwood Prep.
Yeah, that didn't go well, did it?
Kind of backfired.
It is our 70th birthday today, which is good because they had the reunion show this morning. But most of those guys couldn't blow all the candles off on the cake. They're kind of old. So, I mean, it's over here in the corner melting away, and the fire alarm is going off, so you might hear some noise in the background. But what I want to talk about partly today, besides some things going on around the town, is the fact that for me and for a lot of people, I've always known WTMA as a talk station. I knew WTMA as a talker when I was living in Tampa in 89 because we were monitoring Hurricane Hugo down in actually I was in Orlando at the time. We were monitoring because we were getting hail from that. We got like a huge hailstorm that just buried my friend of mine's Jeep CJ. Remember CJ's? Buried my friend's Jeep CJ in a parking lot, and it was on the news. It was on the network news because, you know, snow and hail in Florida. And I said, well, not really. Just ice fell from the sky, and it was still about 68 degrees outside. So I wondered what was going on. I started looking around, and all of a sudden I'm looking around on the internet of the day, which was a lot slower than now, looking around making phone calls. And they said, you need to talk to somebody named Dan Moon in Charleston. I said, Dan who? What kind of name is that? Oh, wait a minute. My name is Rocky. On the horn with us right now, on vacation with his feet in the water, umbrella drink in his hand, Dan Moon. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Rocky. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, good. I mean, it's about the same now as it was 20 years ago, except now we have more frontal nudity, I think.
Well. I think that's the only difference, and that's not for the good.
Now, you were the first actual live host. It's what when we flipped to talk, you were doing this as a country station, 1988, before the thing hit?
Yeah, actually, it came there in 87 for the second time. And I was running a cable television system up in Somerville, and general manager of the system up there, and had a good job, didn't. But at any rate, they wanted me to come talk to them about doing a country music morning show. That's what we were playing at the time, and I did, and that lasted about a year and a half. And I got where I just could not stay part-time. I was going to come in and do the morning show and then go back up and do my duties as the manager of the cable TV system. But the place was in such terrible shape. The equipment was really bad shape. Just a mess. And so I got where I couldn't leave and go back to my regular job. I wound up staying later and later. And against my better judgment, I finally decided I'd jump back into it full steam, and we did. And then shortly thereafter, it was purchased by another owner, and I said he was going to turn it over to Talk Radio, and I said, I've never heard of Talk Radio. What do you do? He said, well, we just talk all the time. I said, you crazy. He said, fool, and people listen? Yeah. I said, man, come on, you got to be. You don't play any music? No. I said, man.
All that kind of dovetailed on the popularity of Talk Radio. As of 1987, when they deregulated all this so-called stupid fairness stuff, which was not really fairness at all, it was impossible.
When, when they got rid of that fairness doctrine, of course, it just really busted loose. Rush Limbaugh came along and with a national audience and started picking up stations here and there, and about a year and a half.
Yeah, you had Limbaugh, you had a couple people on the West Coast, you had Bob Grant in New York.
Bob Grant,
those people suddenly became important.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, in fact, we carried Bob Grant on our station there, on TMA here for a while, but we did it, and everything was going along okay until September the 21st, and that's when Hugo came on. Of course, it was on the 1st of June of 1989 that we went actually talk.
Yeah, we went. Then, WTMA went from music to talk June 1st of 1989. But in September, the big storm hit, and here was Dan Moon caught in the middle of it in a building that could fall down at any second.
Well, here's the crazy thing. We were switched to talk radio, as you said, on June the 1st. I was content to not do anything on the air. In other words, I was going to be the operations manager and run the place, but I didn't want to do a show on the air, had no intention of doing a show on the air whatsoever. Just run things from the desk, so to speak. But then Hugo came along and threw everything into a tizzy. Basically, the staff left me. They evacuated. They were gone. And so it was me and the engineer, whose name was Bruce Roberts, and I managed to get back. Bruce got us back on the air. We were off the air shortly, the night of the hurricane, and then the afternoon at 5 o'clock, he got the transmitter dried out.
And that old building in Orange Grove Road, when I came there in 2001, I thought, my God, and you guys broadcast from here? No way!
That was a dump. It was an absolute dump. But you know, it was a dump.
Well, it probably was a nice place in 1958.
Well, yeah. I'm not so sure even then it was a nice place. This was one of those buildings, Rocky, that started off as a little small building, little concrete block building that housed a transmitter and a control room and a little newsroom area. And that was it. And then they started adding on piecemeal and one thing after another, and then it just became a conglomeration.
Oh, it looked like a house a crazy person built, like the Winchester home.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. But, you know, out of that piece of junk, out of that old dilapidated building, which had skunks up in the attic and raccoons
under the floor.
Oh, my God, raccoons and skunks, and it was just a mess. when we bought a can of roach spray, we couldn't buy like a 12 or 15-ounce can of Reed. We had to buy it by the gallon and a jug and spray that darn. But anyway, it wound up limited. It just proved one thing. It proved that the listening audience really doesn't care where you are coming from. In other words, you could be buck naked in your bathroom doing your show, and as long as they enjoy what they're hearing, and it doesn't matter. It makes no difference.
You don't have an internet cam in my house, do you?
No.
Because I wonder how you knew that. And then, by the way, for those who don't know it, Dan Moon was one of the guys instrumental in bringing me here. Because they originally wanted to hire the management in their wisdom. Remember these guys that used to be here? The management that used to be here in their infinite non-wisdom, which is legendary in radio, wanted to bring this other guy in who was from North Carolina. And you know what happened to that guy, Dan? 8 months after I started here, that guy ended up in a drunk tank. I'm glad he's okay now, but something bad happened to him.
Yeah, I'll never forget that, Rocky. The management at the time called me in there and said, Dan, would you take this CD, or was it tape? I don't know whether you sent a CD or a tape. I think it was a tape. But anyway, would you listen to this audition tape from this guy and tell me what you think? And I said, yeah. And so I took it and put it in. It must have been a CD.
Yeah,
I put it in
disc.
The car.
Yeah.
And I listened to it on the way home that day. And I, of course, it was you. And I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, God almighty, this guy is never going to make it in Charleston. No way. I mean, this guy sounds like he's straight out of Chicago in the hood or something, you know? So I said, nah. But I listened going on the way home, and then I came back the next morning coming into work, and I pushed it again. I listened again. And then I listened to it again on the way going back home the next afternoon. And after about three times listening, I said, you know, this just might work. So I went back to the management at the time, and I said, all right. He said, what do you think, Dan? I said, I think we ought to give the guy a shot. well, we're going to have to bring him all the way up here, and it might not work out. He might not. I said, well, I tell you what you do, and you remember this, Rocky. Yeah. I said, well, just give him a 6-month contract. Give him a 6-month contract to start with, and then if it doesn't work out, you know, we're not obligated for a year. And so that's what they did with you, and obviously the rest is history.
Yeah, they gave me Steve. His name was. He gave me one. He gave me 1 year to beat the opposition in any demographic. And in 4 months, I beat them all in every demographic except one.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard, Dan. I mean, Dan and I went out on the back porch of his old building, Donna, and we discussed evil plans on how to crush our competition. And I'm thinking to myself, all we got to do is be good because they suck.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. But, you know, the philosophy, Rocky, back in those, when we went talk radio, the philosophy by our owner, whose name was Bill Dudley at the time, he's an engineer. He had an engineering background.
Mm-hmm.
And so his philosophy was great equipment, good engineering, and good execution. So we went out and bought all brand new equipment. I mean, everything. Control boards, production boards, the cart decks that we use. I know I'm talking inside stuff to other people, but all the equipment that we use, folks, he bought all new equipment, and it was just marvelous, just great. Everything was new.
Yeah, if you go to Google and type in WTMA memories page, John Quincy put a lot of pictures up there. You can see the old gates with the turn knobs that go about 3 months after you buy them.
Yeah, well, that's what we listen. When I first went to TMA as country station, now that's what we had, that gates board with the turn knobs.
Yeah.
And that served us for a while. And so when Dudley bought all brand new equipment, it was all the digital stuff with the slide knobs and all that. And I said, my Lord, I've died and gone to heaven.
And now we have touch screens, man. I mean, here I am. I'm still here. You know,
listen,
can you hang on, Dan? We got to go into a break here because that's how we do. We're not Air America. We don't get money from somebody from the government or a secret source. Can you hang on?
Listen, Rocky, I don't pay any attention to going to breaks. What the heck would make money? Stations don't need to make money. Come on.
Yeah, what's all that about?
Yeah.
And plus, when we come back, another big surprise. I actually tracked somebody down that nobody thought I could. It wasn't that hard. Yeah. All I did was, you know, check stripper bars in the area. No, I'm just kidding. Hang on, Dan, can you?
All right.
I'm interrupting Dan's vacation, by the way. He's out at the beach, so we're blowing
up
his vacation.
Well, he's gracious to talk to us.
Somehow, Donna, you know I would be able to turn this into something all about me.
All about you, absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
That's just you being you.
That's what it's all about, me. At 12:50, the big talk of WTMA.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity. Don't forget, join me for 3 hours of stimulating talk right after Radio Free Rocky D, today at 3 on 12:50 WTMA.
Now, let's get back to Radio Free Rocky D on 12:50 WTMA.
Yep, WTMA signed on the air 1939, June 15th. And we've gone from that to this. Happy birthday to us! This is what radio's come to. Sad, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say it's looking good.
Yeah, actually, we have more fun now. I mean, people don't realize how it's. Although I'll tell you what, it's getting increasingly more and more difficult to have fun because you have legal eagles running around going, "Oh my God, you can't say booger! We'll all get sued." Speaking of boogers, hey, Dan Moon is on the line.
You know, we used to have a lot of fun, Rocky, when we started this thing because there were no rules. No rules whatsoever. We didn't know what to do. Talk radio was relatively new, I mean, for the most part, in these size markets like Charleston. Now, it was already prevalent in New York and Chicago and some big markets, but not in markets the size of Charleston.
Yeah, we always had talk radio in Chicago, but it was pretty bland up until about 1990. I got to tell you, by the way, Dan, a big surprise here. On the horn with us right now, one of Dan Moon's first news babes, Dorothy Conflenti. Hey, Dorothy.
Hey, Rocky. How are you?
Hey, Dan. Meet Dorothy again.
My Lord.
Dan, I can't believe it's been 20 years.
Dorothy, I cannot either. I haven't heard your voice. I guess neither one of us have heard each other. And at least I haven't heard your voice since.
Hey, Dorothy, by now, is that secret love child grown up and 20 years old through college yet, or what?
Yeah, he still owes me back pain, child support, I'll tell you what.
Start a rumor, Dan. Start a rumor. By the way, and now here I am. You know, I didn't know to tell you this, Dorothy, but Dan was like the main man. He was the most instrumental piece of me getting hired up here. Dan said, "Yeah, take this guy, bring him up here. He's nuts."
Well, it sounds like he made a great choice. And Dan, of course, was with us from the very beginning. He and I did the morning news together, our four-hour news block, and it was just about one of the funnest jobs I think I ever had. It was great.
I just saw your picture. You're a hottie.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I bet you're still a hottie.
Well, I tried.
And here's something you don't say too much in radio, Dan. Hey, that woman's a hottie.
A face for radio is what they say.
We didn't say hottie on the air.
No.
You didn't say hottie. Oh, by the way, and then, of course, you know, me talking about how Dan brought me up here. See, yeah. Donna? See, Donna? See, Dorothy? See, Dan? You knew I'd find a way to turn this whole WTMA birthday into all about me.
So, yeah, Rocky, I knew you would.
Now, Rocky, what market did you come from?
I came out of Tampa.
Oh, wow, my backyard.
So I'm well aware of Sarasota, so I knew when I called you, you'd be doing nothing because it's land of the walking dead down there.
Yes, unfortunately, it truly is.
Do you remember where the old VIP ice rink used to be?
No.
Yeah, wait. I used to skate there. I used to skate there and referee ice hockey down there.
Oh, yeah, yep. I do know where that is, actually. Yeah, they built a big mall around it.
Of course they did. Hey, Dan, do you remember when Dorothy first came on here? Were you new, Dorothy?
I actually, relatively, I'd been in radio about 5 years. I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at WKZQ.
Wow.
Yep, and then came over to WTMA, Hugh Jett, actually. I don't know if anyone remembers. I know Dan remembers Hugh, but yeah. Hugh Jett brought me over, so.
Hugh was our, just for information, Hugh Jett was our general manager, and he also was a part owner of the station. Hugh had spent several years in broadcasting, many years, but he had been in the mainly the sales end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Hugh was actually the general manager when we flipped it to talk radio. But Dudley decided he wanted Hugh to run the sales end of things and be the big boss, and then ask me if I would be the operations manager and run everything on the air side, which was okay. But, Dorothy, I don't know whether I even told you this at one time. When they asked me to, when Dudley asked me to take over and run the thing, I said, "You got to be a nut. You're crazy. You're an idiot." I said, "I don't even believe in this talk radio. This is not going to work." And he kept me on. And anyhow, and I said, "My Lord, this guy's got to be crazy." But he was a crazy guy who knew what he was doing. And I said, mm-hmm. "You know, I trust him. I think he's not going to put all his money into something. It's not going to work." And so with that in mind, you know, we played it out for a while. And, of course, when Hugo came along in December of 89, everything completely changed. I mean, we were doing well, and TMA, Rocky, would have been successful anyhow. It just would have taken us a little longer.
Yeah. Talk radio is king now, man. Talk radio is king. It is the new top 40.
It is.
Now, listen.
And now you guys, I'm here. See, it's about me again.
Well, Dorothy remembers. Now, Dorothy was involved in the news end of it, and so and not so much in the talk end. Of course, after, by the way, Dorothy, you remember this, didn't start a talk show at first. You know, it was a whole 4 hours of news.
Yes.
You know, it went to 6 till 10 in the morning of news, and then we went to a network talk show. I think it was Joy Brown, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, psychologist. Yep. And then, of course, Limbaugh at noon and all this. But we... actually, Rocky, I had no intention of getting on the air, really, and doing a talk show. Of course, when Hugo came along, we were all called in to do extra duty, and we needed a talk show, and I filled in there and did it.
You know, that's when I learned who you were, Dan, because we were in, at the time, I was in Orlando, and we were getting pounded with ice. And I'm thinking, ice in Orlando?
Yeah.
And we were getting pounded with ice, and it really was still warm outside, 68, 70 degrees. Here come ice flying. Look on the news, and there it is, Hugo. It has hit Charleston. And can you guys hang on? I don't want to waste your whole day. And Dan, I know you're on vacation, but this is one of those breaks where they put in, Dan, it's hard, so that I can't move it because I'll keep blabbing if you let me. Hang on, everybody, hang on. Hang on, Dorothy. I got to talk to you off the air anyway. Dorothy works down for Comcast in Sarasota now, Dan.
Oh, good.
Yeah, hang on. Yeah. Hey, Donna?
Yeah.
How am I doing making this all about me? Am I doing good?
You're doing a pretty good job.
All right. yeah, look at the look on you. You know women hate that. It's all about me. Oh, why am I sweating? It's cold in here. Huh? TMA 70th birthday, 1250 WTMA.
1939 to 2009. 70 years of service to Charleston and the Lowcountry.
WTMA.
Now we're bad to the bone. They didn't play this back in... Yeah, they could have, though. I think they could have played this in 89, right? I don't know when it was written. 556-1250 is my number. 556-1250. WTMA is 70 years old today, and I want to concentrate a little bit more on when it turned into talk radio. And I've got Dan Moon on the line right now, and one of his original news babes, Dorothy Conflenti. Hey, Dorothy.
Hey, Rocky. How you doing?
We're trying to talk you into coming up here this Saturday. I know it's kind of short notice, but...
A little short notice, but I'll definitely plan a trip up there one weekend for sure.
There you go. We got room for you.
That's great.
Hey, Dan?
Yeah, I'm here.
That first night, now were you and Dorothy both in the studio when Hugo was hit, or were you all alone in there? What happened?
Dorothy, I think several of you guys, evacuated. Were you one of those?
Yeah, we drove up to? I think it was Columbia.
Greenville, or?
Yeah, it's Columbia. We drove up to Columbia. They shut down the interstate back then, and it was bumper-to-bumper traffic. I think what was normally a two-hour drive took us 8 hours.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I've got a photo back then. What the governor back then did was installed parking meters along the side of the freeway and made money off it.
Let me tell you a serious note here, and this is the truth. It sounds kind of rough, but let me tell you. People were stranded on that interstate.
Yep.
They couldn't get up there, and this was for Hugo now we're talking.
Right.
And this lesson had never hit us like this hard. I mean, not with the population we had. I mean, it had grown so much, and we had never had to go through a massive evacuation as we did for Hugo. Like, so people stranded forever, and people were having to use the facilities, so to speak, and they were nowhere close to a rest area. So, I mean, you know, you're talking about pine trees growing fast. My goodness.
Hey, Dorothy, were you listening to Dan when you were taking off out of town going, bye, Dan, nice knowing you.
Yeah, I'd see you later. So, yeah, no, it was great. He stayed behind, one of the few people that did stay behind and held down the fort and was kind enough to say, go, you know, you guys go ahead. And then we came back a day or two later, I can't really recall, and I think WTMA was just about the only station on the air. And so we were working around the clock just trying to get information out to people. It was quite an experience.
Dan, did you think that when you were doing this, I know you were doing it because you had to do it, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this is really going to put WTMA on the map, and this is going to show everybody how important talk radio is.
That's when I sensed it. Like I said, I didn't think it would work. And up until shortly after Hugo, a few days after Hugo hit, is when it started to sink in that now I think I see what this talk radio business is, really, honest to God. After running it for those 3 or 4 months, I said, not knowing really what it was all about. But I saw that we were in the medium of communication. And radio had kind of gotten away from the communication business. In other words, well, I say communication. They had gotten away from two-way communication. They were strictly one-way. And so many of them had even gone automated and had cut back their jocks or disc jockeys who could only say a few words and had a script. And those words are normally scripted.
Yeah.
So we had taken
Sounds familiar, Dan.
Yeah, we'd taken the fun, the personality, and the two-way communications out of broadcasting. And we, at least in Charleston, WTMA put it back in there. Where people could talk to us, we could talk to them. And, you know, Dorothy, you remember this. We got a lot of problems solved. I mean, for those 3 weeks that we took the network away and did continuous local talk stuff, I can't tell you how many problems we solved. People needed to be able to talk about their problems and discuss what was going on. So that told me, you know, this may just work. And sure enough, after Hugo was gone 3 weeks later, we went back to our general network program, trying to get back to some normalcy. But the listeners said, "Dan, could you get back on the air again?" And I really didn't want to do it. But I finally said, "Okay." So, Dorothy, I think as well as I can recall, I took about a half hour 2 days a week in the mornings there with your show,
mm-hmm.
the show that you all were doing with the news. I think a half hour of that on like Tuesdays and Thursdays. We did open up the phone lines, and then we extended it to an hour, I think.
Yep.
Still only a couple of days a week. It was a good while before we actually went 5 days a week, and that was because I really didn't want to, be honest with you.
Yeah, because I remember the show became very popular very fast. So he got put in a position to do it, I think, whether he wanted to or not.
It's all you, Dorothy. It was all you.
That's right. I was behind the scenes.
And then, do I need to interject this again, Donna? And then, of course, Rocky D came in 2001. What happened? It's all about me again.
Hey, Rocky. Hey, I got a bite on my line here.
Oh, okay, man. You going to hang up, Dan?
I'm sitting in a chair on the beach with my feet down in the surf and a surf rod beside me and there's something biting it.
Go pull it in.
Huh?
Go pull it in. We'll talk to you another time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to go do it.
Okay, go ahead, Dan. See you.
I'll see you, my friend.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go. Hope he doesn't want to hang up.
Hey, Dorothy.
Yes,
Dorothy.
Bye, Dan.
I'll see you later.
Nice catching up with you.
Hang on, Dorothy. Hang on. Let me get rid of Dan here.
I'm going to have to remember that one.
And, okay,
I got
now,
a bite on the line.
I got a bite on the line.
Go.
Yeah, that's what I always do. I always tell telemarketers, I'm sorry, my dog's on fire. Can you hang on? Hey, Dorothy, you still there?
Yes.
Now that Dan's going, can you tell us some dirt about him? Come on, tell us the stuff.
I wish I had some dirt, but I don't. Great guy.
see if you can make it up there this weekend. Now, you were... this was the big boon when things happened. Now, talk radio exploded in 1987, and everybody says it's because of the fairness doctrine, but I'm going to tell you what it really came down to, okay? It came down to the fact that when stations began to absorb each other.
Yes.
All right? Yes. Suddenly, little standalones like WTMA became even more important, and this is happening again today. People are saying, I don't want to hear the same crap I hear everywhere else. Same talk show guy saying the same thing every day at the same time, and then there's Rocky D, who will talk about what's out my window.
And, exactly.
And when it came to Hugo, that was everything involved with Hugo was more important than things happening in Washington, D.C. or La La Land at that time.
It truly was. I remember being on the air and people calling in asking, where can I get water? Where can I get food? Asking, where can I get diapers for my baby? I mean, some of the basic necessities of life, it was... it was an unbelievable experience. And then, of course, at the time, it was Governor Carroll Campbell. And he would call into the station a couple of times a day. He'd give us an update. It's really nice to have that kind of connection with the community. And I think today that's what a lot of radio stations are missing, is that community connection. But we definitely had it, and I think you guys still have it.
Yeah, watch me right now. Everybody watch me. I know you can watch me on the radio. Watch me. I will now do what network talk show hosts cannot do. Donna, explain what I'm doing.
Looking out your window.
I'm looking out the window at Charleston.
Oh, I thought you meant the other thing you usually do that keeps you off of TV. But
that's why they don't turn the internet cams on when I'm in here, because they're afraid I might do this. All right. And you, by the
no
way.
No self-adjusting, please.
No. Hey, I got it from my old baseball days. Well, come on up sometime and spend a little time up here. After going through all that. Yeah, come on up, Dorothy.
I will, and I'll let you know when I'm coming. I'll stop by the station. Love to see you guys.
All right, thanks, Dorothy.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Dorothy Gifflenty.
What a great lady.
I just found her. I've never talked to her in my life, ever. Do you think she'll come up here now?
She might.
Oh, man. When are we going to get? We need to get new phones. These 1989 phones are going to get replaced. We got these because we have beat the crap out of these for the last 8 years, and JT can't even fix them anymore because we beat the snot out of these things. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, you're going to void your warranty that way, man.
Oh man, we beat the crap out of these things. Let me tell you.
It's kind of like when your cell phone messes up. The first question they ever ask is, "Well, have you dropped it?" Come on, how many people are not having to drop their cell phone? Anyway, that's all I call.
I have not, but go ahead.
You know, hey, Dan, if you're still listening, I just want to say it's a great day to be above ground, isn't it? I hope you caught a big one out there in the surf. Listen, you know, some people who weren't here during Hugo may not realize why TMA was such a lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was because TMA, Dan, and it would tell us, you know, what service stations were open, where you could go to get water. Because, I mean, you got to remember the water treatment plants were down, too. Because all the sewage treatment plants were flooded, mixed in the water. There were no leaves left on the trees, so they were decaying in the water that we were supposed to be drinking. Where you could go to get ice if you needed it. Who had generators for sale. Which guys to watch out for.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a lifeline, really, for those of us who are stuck here because there were trees down everywhere blocking the roads, and you couldn't get in or out. So
you know,
chainsaw, you weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, I figure every time we get storms coming, I stock up on the two essentials you need, okay?
Yeah, beer and bullets.
Beer and bullets. You got that right, because with the second one, I can get anything else I need, and nobody else can take mine.
Yeah, unless somebody had a bigger bullet than you, then you're out of luck.
Well, let them try. All I need is one good placement. and I don't think, however, and I wonder in today's society, okay, the way things have gone, we now have a new generation of grown-up thugs who have no responsibility for themselves, no regard for themselves or anyone around them. It's all about, you know, them, you know, I make jokes about it's all about me. But the fact is, if the society broke down, you know who's going to come after you. It's going to be those punk kids. Look what happened. Look what happened in New Orleans.
Yeah.
At the time I was on the air, I was saying, you know, there's people going there just to wreak havoc. And the people who stayed behind, many of them stayed behind just to become neighborhood kings and do violence. And people got mad at me when I said that. And it turned out to be absolutely right. Because I've seen it before.
I thought you meant that when you said, look what happened in New Orleans, I thought you're talking about when the cops were looting the stores.
See, it all broke down. And what happens? Cops are looting the stores and they got guns. Nice big 40s, man. You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll probably see you at the party.
All right. Yeah, you going to come?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the party, too.
Okay, yeah. Come on in. All right. There you go.
All right. See ya.
It's such an old joke. Stupid. Anyway. Why don't you call me and tell me about your WTMA memory, especially when it comes down to Floyd, if you were here. Now, most people that I know have been here 20 years or less, and they know WTMA as the talk station in town. We'll talk to some of the music guys later on the show.
Yeah, because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah, that's what you grew up with. And, of course, Donna, as we know, never mind Obama's on TV ruining the health care coverage. Never mind the thing that's all about us. It's the 70th birthday party. Do we get, how come we don't get cake today?
We should have cake today.
We should have cake today.
Now that you mention it, I'm upset that we don't.
And nobody on our squeaky other shows has ever noticed that I customized the sign.
Okay.
Nobody noticed. That's good for me.
Absolutely.
Because you know I'm always doing something in here. We're going to talk to some other people that were here during the heyday of news and all that kind of stuff, too, because, like I told you, you know, what am I doing in talk radio? Well, and a lot of, because music radio in the midnight became a real sucky object. You couldn't do anything, like Dan was saying. No fun. Everything's recorded. Everything is voice tracked. And I'm like, my God, what is the most fun thing you can do if you still want to have fun on radio? Local talk shows. That's the most fun. Why? Because everybody knows you. Everybody out there listening to me right now. If you can hear me, I live near you. Hey, if you can hear me. I live near you. If you're online, you know where I'm at. I'm in Charleston. Okay? But if you're listening to me off regular broadcast right now, I live near you. I'm your neighbor. Unlike these other shows you hear all day long, I am your neighbor. I live by you. 1250, the big talker to WTMA.